This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with Doug Gottlieb of CBS Sports in just a moment. He's an expert on college basketball, and you'll hear all about his predictions for the upcoming college hoop season. But first, parents and doctors need to take the lead in talking to kids about drinking, and they need to do it before their child tries their first sip. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, it's before they're even 10 years old. Surveys suggest that children start to think positively about alcohol between ages 9 and 13. The more young people are exposed to alcohol advertising and marketing, the more likely they are to drink, and if they are already drinking, this exposure leads them to drink more. Therefore, it's very important to start talking to children about the dangers of drinking as early as 9 years of age. Parents may not realize their kids are trying booze so young, and pediatricians may not think to ask a preteen about it. 21% of youth acknowledge having had more than a sip of alcohol before 13 years of age, and most, 79%, have done so by the 12th grade. Miley Cyrus has come out as a pansexual, and her father says the family supports her. Billy Ray Cyrus says, "We've always been very open-minded. Listen, it's all about love and light. Forget the negativity and the haters." He says she's rocking and rolling and having a good time. What the world needs is love. There's too much hate. The world needs positive influences. Even when she was a little girl, we told her, "Hey, baby, do what you do. Do it because you love it, not because you have to." Seeing her happy is the greatest thing ever. Miley recently came out about her sexuality when she was asked about dating Victoria's Secret model Stella Maxwell. A source claims Nicki Minaj was joking when she called Miley Cyrus the B word on the MTV Video Music Awards. After Minaj accepted the award for Best Hip Hop Video, she said, "This girl has a lot to say about me the other day in the press. Miley, what's good?" The source said Minaj was laughing after making the statement. The rumored feud began after Cyrus commented on the Twitter argument between Minaj and Taylor Swift. Cyrus said Minaj's comments weren't kind or polite. Meanwhile, a source close to Swift says the singer was not happy when Kanye West went away from the script when he accepted Video Vanguard Award at the VMAs last Sunday night. The two agreed to specific talking points, but Kanye went in a completely different direction. Taylor panicked when Kanye started talking about why he was one of music's most hated people and that he will run for president in 2020. She moved away from Kim Kardashian West during the speech, and camera shots that were supposed to focus on Taylor were canceled. The source said Taylor understood it could have been worse. Kanye agreed to apologize for interrupting her during the 2009 VMAs, but he never really did. Meanwhile, MTV is considering having Kanye as the next host of the VMAs. Allegedly, MTV was thrilled with Kanye's 12-minute diatribe, despite the fact that he brutally trashed the network and award shows in general. My guest this time is an expert on college basketball, but CBS's Doug Gottlieb was in Connecticut last weekend playing in a charity softball game on former Yankees center fielder Bernie Williams' team.
I don't know if I had a great game. We didn't win, so, you know, Bernie wanted to win, and he's awesome. He was like, "Listen, I want you to come play in my celebrity game," and he said, "Don't worry about anything else. Just remember, I haven't won this yet, and it's my game, and I want to win." And then the whole time, he was getting more and more fired up at first base because we had a big lead and it was getting tight. And I mean, he was positive, but he definitely, you could see, like, I played basketball with Kurt Warner. This is like a month ago. I was out in Arizona, and I know Kurt pretty good. He actually has a gym at his house. And the great, great athletes are all the same way. Like, they play and it's all happy, fun, and games. And then all of a sudden, when you get to the end, they want to win. And so Bernie wanted to win. So I don't know if it was a good, you know, I hope I did my part. And it's an honor to play for his team and play short. But it was a lot of fun. I'm sorry I let him down and we didn't win.
Well, it was still a great game. Hard fought. I mean, it was a walk-off win in the bottom of the ninth for the other team. But do you get to do this very often?
You know, it's funny. I hadn't played baseball a ton since I was a kid. I played professionally, played basketball in Israel, and they actually have like a semi-pro league there. And during days off, I would actually go to their practices or whatever, and it was fun. I got a six-year-old boy who's a baseball nut, and we lived out in California for 2 years when he was four and he was five, and we literally played every. He loves soccer, he loves basketball, he likes trying to play flag football. He's six, but he's an unbelievable baseball player for six. So between pitching to him and sitting on one of those paint cans, you know, and pitching to him and having a field balls coming whizzing back at you, it's kind of reinvigorated my love for baseball, which I played, you know, up until like my freshman year in high school. So I played in Carton's game in New Rochelle, and I made a couple plays, and Bernie came over to me and he said, "You can really play." I said, "Well, yeah, I played as a kid, and I'm good enough athlete, I'm good enough shape." He said, "No, you can play." And so it's cool. So I'm available. I'm a shortstop for hire, and occasionally I get a hit.
And what did you think of the other team? Boy, they really came back and got a lot of clutch hits down the stretch.
Man, it was amazing. Like, we thought we had them dead and buried. I think we were up like 10-1, and they just got it together and kind of methodically, and we kind of misplayed some balls, and they took advantage of it, but their lineup was better top to bottom than ours was. I think we, a little bit of fool's gold early in the game. We got some hits out of some unsuspecting guys, but they hit it where we weren't, and sometimes they just hit it over our heads. So they were the better team.
Explain to everybody what you do for CBS Radio Sports.
So CBS Sports Radio launched 2.5 years ago in January. It's a national radio network, partnered with Cumulus. And so I have my own show from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, which you can hear on affiliates. You can hear on the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app. And about a year ago, they moved me back because they wanted to put the show on CBS Sports Network, the TV. So it's, you know, if you Mike and Mike or Boomer and Carton or, you know, Francesa or whatever, it's at the same time as Francesa's show, only on CBS Sports Network and at CBS Sports Radio. And then we also do what's called Sports Minutes, which actually ironically run during Mike Francesa's show. Some of them he doesn't like very much, but that's all right. It's kind of the intent of giving opinionated radio is everybody's not supposed to like exactly. Nobody wants, like, isn't that great? Everything great? That's not really how it works. So I do that. And then, of course, for college basketball, I get a chance to cover the NCAA tournament, Selection Sunday, the Final Four, all that for CBS. And then CBS Sports Network as well. We have an outstanding slate of conference games. So I'm pretty busy, and it's been good moving back to Fairfield County. I was in Hartford County when I was at ESPN for 9 years, and we have three little kids, and raising a family in Connecticut agrees with me. You know, the winners don't always agree with my wife, but the people always make the place, and people care about schools and safety and having kind of a communal feel, so we really like it.
When I saw you on the softball lineup today, I said, wait a minute, isn't he the basketball guru? You really basketball is your expertise.
Yeah, well, you know, I played at Oklahoma State, a little bit at Notre Dame, and then played overseas and in minor leagues here, and I've covered it for, I'm getting old. This is going to be my 13th season of covered college basketball. 14th season. My 13th, well, I don't know how you count it. 2003 is my first year covering it. So I've done it for a long time, and every year March is exciting. Every year there's new faces, and we get to tell their stories. So, yeah, I do a little bit of everything. But the radio show is all sports. It's more football-based, obviously. And then the TV is the strictly college basketball on TV is a lot of fun. That's like that's the old expertise.
All right, so give me a couple of hints of who's going to be the top college teams this year in basketball.
Well, in Tobacco Road, I think, you know, Duke has a lot of returners, but North Carolina is probably going to be their year to be the superior of those two teams. Maryland, who remember now, is in the Big Ten. It's hard to remember. Like, Maryland's in the Big Ten. It's weird. Maryland, obviously Kentucky, should be very good. There's an incredible freshman player. He's Australian and American. He grew up in Australia. He came to the States last year. His name is Ben Simmons, going to play at LSU. He'll probably be the number one pick next year in the NBA draft. So he makes LSU kind of relevant. You know, and then you have all the, you know, UCLA, Cal, I think, will be very good this year. I think Michigan, returning a kid named Karis LeVert. You go down to the Big 12. Kansas should be very good again, as they always are. Oklahoma returns almost everybody from a team that almost went to the Final Four. So there's a couple of the suspects. I'm sure I'm missing a couple off the top of my head. But, you know, you can never count out the Dukes and the Kentuckys of the world. But there's some other teams that I think people will pay attention to this year.
And I don't know how you do it. I don't know how it's one thing to keep track of pro teams when there's like 30 of them. But when there's college teams all across the country, how do you do it? I mean, do you just have that kind of memory?
I do. I mean, I'm blessed with a very good memory. And it's one of those things where, you know, I feel for guys who they go and they play professionally, like in the NBA or overseas, because it's just you lose track of things, and especially NBA guys, they come back, they try and cover college basketball, and I mean, the leagues are different, the coaches are different, the players are definitely different. It's a lot like a college course, you know, where they don't grade your homework, but by the final, everybody knows if you've been keeping up with the syllabus. It's that kind of deal. If you've been keeping up and you know the player movement, the coaching movement, the recruits, who's coming back, who's not, it's not as much catch up. And frankly, you BS it a lot early in the years. You learn everybody's name. No. So it's a challenge, but, you know, it's same challenging. I did college football on radio, and it's not as much the NFL, but, you know, with all the free agency turnover and 53 guys in roster, you know, the truth is I always think local stuff is harder because you got to go deeper in the roster, whereas we do what I was taught is called tree topping. You know the basic topics, the basic storylines, the couple biggest guys, and you're able to talk the talk and sound like you know what you're talking about. So there's a little bit of a trick to it. There's a little bit of keeping up with all the homework, and then there's a whole lot of BS to it.
Well, Doug Gottlieb, thank you for a couple of minutes. Great game today in softball, and we look forward to hearing your sports minutes.
I've been looking. You know, Seth, my boy Seth Davis used to live in Ridgefield. I've been looking for the plaque. I haven't found it. I have no statue, no directions to where he used to live. So maybe he didn't leave his mark, because everywhere I've gone, people remember. No one mentioned Seth today, but it was a lot of fun, and Bernie's just the greatest. So I'll be back next year.
With college basketball guru Doug Gottlieb of CBS Sports, I'm Mike Bennett, and you are listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So it's time for the kids to meet the new boyfriend, new girlfriend, potential new mom or dad. How about a way to make it painless? Here's the social science of it.
It's a family affair.
Kids need to be engaged in any activity. So if you just sit the kids down with the new boyfriend or girlfriend, and if you think that conversation's the best way to do it, it will fail miserably. Even loading up everyone and going to a movie with a new guy is not a smart idea either, because little engagement will be accomplished. What's the cheap psychological trick? The best way to introduce a potential new family member is to pick a physical activity the kids like. Then all can interact with your new beau or belle. For example, bowling engages the kids and allows for an easy interaction with the new guy. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Julie owns a hair salon. 5 years ago, she had an artist design a window display advertising a $99 cut, curl, and color special. But in the last 5 years, Julie has had to raise her prices several times. So when people come in asking about the $99 special, they're told the price is now $139. Is this legal? Is Julie breaking any laws? The final verdict after this. Are cigarettes ruining your life? Miraset is a permanent stop smoking solution. Call 800-942-0965. Only $49.95 with a money back guarantee. That's 800-942-0965. If a store displays an item or service in its window at a sale price, they are legally required to sell at that price. Julie is misrepresenting her services, so she is breaking the law. And that's the final verdict.